Hi, we're doing the second part of the teaching on the Circle of the Deep, or the 12 Chancellor's Houses, within the module Heavenly Realms. Heavenly Realms themselves, one of the aspects of the Heavenly Realms is its governmental perspective, how things are arranged governmentally, dimensionally. All these things are very interesting. There are different levels of government relating to different realms, and the realms themselves relate governmentally in a way beyond what we can just understand from a natural perspective of government. There's way more to it in terms of how it relates to the different realms and dimensions of creation. But we have a part to play in it. This is the key. We have mountains, we have thrones there, we have positions of governmental authority that are in different realms. And as we mature, we'll find that some of these things will become unveiled to us, that we will be able to understand how the different courts of heaven work, how these courts function within the different realms, and actually how these courts function within the overall government of God within heaven itself and the realms of heaven. Zechariah 3:7, if you walk in my ways, you will perform my service, then you will have governed my house. So then there is a then and an if. So there are things here where we need to be aware that this is a process of maturity. It's not automatic. Yes, we're all sons of God, but we may be babies, toddlers, infants, teenagers, and adults. And there are different levels. And having charge of the courts and having free access among those who are standing in the realms of the assemblies and councils of God. So the Circle of the Deep is a description of how the 12 Chancellor's Houses are arranged. And it's like wheels within wheels within wheels on which the throne or the government of God is founded. And we saw last time that there are four seasons, each with three houses operating. Precepts, statutes, laws, ordinances, mantles, weapons, scrolls, discovery, commissioning, culture, affairs of the nations, treasury. And those sets of three are the foundational government that joins together with the next of the movement or the season or the alignment to bring about a window that opens up for change and for change of things to take place. So we get precepts, statutes, laws, ordinances. Those are the window. Three plus the first of the next. Ordinances, mantle, weapons, scrolls. That's a window. Scrolls, discoveries, commissioning, culture. Another window. Culture, affairs of the nations, treasury, precepts. So the end and the beginning meet. And this is the Circle of the Deep. This is how the Chancellor's Houses work. This is how we can be involved in not just accepting that this is how heaven functions, but being involved in its function, administrating this around our lives and in the areas that we've been given responsibility for. So I look back and saw how this had been taking place in my life. And the angel that's assigned to me in heaven has been responsible for arranging these things in my life so that then there can be stimulus that brings change and change of season, a new level of maturity as we learn to engage these things. So there are dimensional perspectives and governmental perspectives of the heavenly realms, and they are connected. They're connected in a way which is not obvious always, but they are connected because heaven functions in a fractal pattern. There are deeper levels of revelation that are deeper, and everything functions as a fractal of something more fundamental. So we tend to look at what we're looking at and think that's it. That's the picture. But there's another level. Hebrews look at scripture and look at four levels, and in each one of those levels, there may be 70 levels. So there's a lot of revelation. And when you look at something, we tend to focus on it and think that's it. But everything's a fractal. So when you look at it, a fractal means like a fern is made up of fronds, and each frond is made up of tiny fronds, and each tiny frond is made of fronds. So it's all patterned after the golden mean and various things scientifically like that. So God spoke to me about these things when I was looking to engage him. You know, years ago, I engaged the Chancellor's Houses. I've been functioning, operating, using them. Now I've begun to teach it. I went back to talk to God and said, look, can you give me more insight into how this is at work within the realms of heaven. So the patterns of the government of heaven, because, you know, I'm obviously here teaching you this to try and unveil there's a lot more than we can have probably imagined or thought. So this is what the Father said. Son, the mercy seat is the center of the four governmental thrones of heaven. The throne of God, the throne of grace, the Ancient of Days throne, the temple throne. Those four thrones or positions of government and of relationship create the window of heaven into the earth. So these are key things to get a grasp of. They sit on the sapphire pavement held in balance by the creation stone or mercy seat from which creation itself was established. Now, this may be a concept that you don't perhaps have heard of. But within Hebrew culture and actually within heaven itself, you know, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The blood was played on the foundation stone, which now we see as the mercy seat in which the blood of Jesus from the cross was imparted. But actually, these are one and the same thing that work together. Each throne represents a cycle and a season. And it's important to realize that heaven functions on cycles and seasons, and our lives also function on cycles and seasons. And those are the natural cycles and seasons, but there are also supernatural cycles and seasons as well. So the throne of God is associated with judgment, the throne of the Ancient of Days with justice, the throne of grace, grace, the throne of the temple, mercy. And we see that these thrones are associated with those four seasons, which are how heaven is patterned and how they connected to the Council of 70 and them seating for four seasons and administrating judgment for 70 days and justice for 70 days, grace for 70 days, mercy for 70 days. Also, there are bigger cycles of these processes. So there may be a larger cycle of judgment, which is beyond 70 days within 1 year, but could be a number of years. And we are learning to begin to administrate these things for ourselves as sons. God said this, the three dimensions of the circle of the deep expressed as wheel within wheel within wheel, which are the convergence of the eternal now, what is creative light time, and what will be created light time. So in other words, think of the eternal now outside of time and space. Think of the creative light time within the realms of heaven. And there are multiple versions of that in different realms. And created light in this time. So what will be needs to be an expression of what is in that realm, which has come out of what was the eternal now of God's heart. The outer wheel is the physical expression of the inner wheel, which is the expression of the innermost wheel. Now, we drew some pictures of that yesterday, of wheels within wheels within wheels, when I shared, you know, the last session. But there are many governmental planes of existence as seen in the 12 chancellor's houses that cycle the seasons. That's just one plane that this works in and in one way, but there are many. There are many 12 base planes within the circles and wheels, 12 ages to come, 12 ambassadors, 12 ages of man, 12 foundation stones, 12 times 12 dimensions. I mean, there's a lot. Each house is a place of personal revelation for sonship. So the 12 chancellor's houses are not just for an alignment or a change or seasons. We can engage there for personal revelation that will engage with our sonship so we can know our identity, our position, and authority as a son of God. So houses are aligned in order for our lives, for mandates, for blueprints, to facilitate the times and the seasons that bring us into those things. Shifts take place. So encounters with the precepts of God by face-to-face engagements with love, the very essence of God's nature, become the springboard for transformation and maturity in sonship. When you encounter God in such a way that it is transformatory to your thinking, to your experience, to everything in life, those encounters become the springboard for change. So it's important to engage with God himself and to engage the precepts of God. Now, the house of precepts is one you can go to and you begin to experience how you can see into engagements with God himself. And it unveils things, revelation. So when I look back in my life and I see the times of growth and maturity, they're usually based in an encounter. Now, in my early Christian days, that would have been an encounter with a book or with a scripture, because I didn't have any concept of engaging God. But the angel that was at work in bringing me into my inheritance used certain experiences to springboard me and move me forward to change my thinking and to bring order to my life. So when we engage the precepts of God, well, we have a face-to-face encounter that is with truth and challenges us. Often it produces cognitive dissonance, which will be a challenge to what we believe. And then we begin to engage in those experiential perspectives that renew our mind to the statutes of God. So the precepts lead to the statutes, the way God sees something. So we start to see something from different perspectives because of the encounter we've had. It changes the way we think. The renewing of our identity produces changes to the order of our lives, aligning to the laws or principles of God. So the statutes, changing our thinking, actually begins to change how we begin to behave. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as you begin to engage God and see how God sees you, it changes how you see yourself, and you begin to align with that new way that you see yourself. So, you know, if I had an encounter with heaven in 2008, that was something which was such a radical change, it began to change the possibilities of what now was possible for me. I never thought of going to heaven. Now I'd been to heaven, now all of a sudden my thinking has changed and I want to go back to heaven. So my life starts to outwork from the fact that now I'm someone who's engaged heaven and can engage heaven again. So I then began to seek for how do I go back into that realm. So now I'm looking at what things open up the doors for me to engage. So something's changed significantly. And then we move on to an alignment which produces change according to the ordinances of God. New season, shifts in relationship, shifts in location, opportunities begin to occur because you've encountered God. It's changed your thinking. You've now aligned your life with that thinking, and now things begin to open up. I went into a season where I began to experience a desire which opened up the revelation, and then I entered into that revelation and began to then go back into heaven and then live from a heavenly perspective, all coming from the initial encounter. Each of us has those encounters through our lives. We may not recognize them, but now we can begin to seek for them. Let's say God puts something in your heart. In the past, we would have probably thought, how is that going to come about? And usually we probably sit back waiting for God to do it. But now we can say, okay, if I'm going to come into this area of my destiny, I need an encounter with the living God that transforms my thinking, that brings an alignment in my life, that then starts to open doors of opportunity for me to manifest these things through. And I've had lots of encounters with God, often on the firestones or insignificant encounters or going back into eternity into his heart, or when we walked together and he took me to show me something, that whole encounter produced a radical shift of thinking. And all those encounters that I have really have unveiled the true nature of what God is like and has changed the perspective of who I thought God was, which has obviously changed how I then see myself in light of that. So these are ongoing processes. So as the ordinances of God begin to bring new seasons, then we need new things for new seasons. So new opportunities release new mantles. We need new level of authority for that new season. So you'll find that these things begin to align, and this is the alignment of the circle of the deep, the 12 chancellor's houses, for windows for us to experience these shifts or seasons of change. Then I'm going to need new tools, new weapons, new revelation, new wisdom, new understanding, new abilities, capacities to begin to manifest if I am going then to take that opportunity and use it. So I need a whole different perspective, because maturity is taking place. Things can't stay the same. Things need to change. So then new scrolls get released from this new position that I'm in, with new mandates, new positions, roles for the new seasons that are coming. So this begins to increase in momentum. Further revelation and discoveries are needed for the new season, and they're revealed, engaging the discovery house or the alignment of this to bring those discoveries into my life. And that might be through an engagement, it might be through a revelation, it might be through an encounter with somebody and something, one of the men of white linen, an angel, wisdom, that will unveil something new, take me to show me something which I never saw before, take me to a new place in heaven, unveil something different, new engagements in the heavenly realms, angels, courts, all those things take place because things are being brought out and discovered for this season I'm in. A commissioning takes place in heaven, and new levels of authority are given, greater access, higher level thrones, courts that you've never been to before. This is the cycle and season which begins to take place. The culture of your life changes. The culture of your life shifts, and the resources for new seasons begin to release. So we find the culture house brings a change in the culture of my life. The affairs of my life begin to shift around, and the resources from the treasury room of heaven begin to get released. And I then begin to operate in that. And what does that do? That takes me back to the precepts of God. It will take me back to a joy, a peace, a deeper revelation of God, and a deeper desire to pursue Him for more. Because now I realize the more I know, the more I don't know. There is to know. So we can administrate as well as cooperate with these cycles. And when we understand these things, we can begin to cooperate with them, but actually facilitate them by calling for, let's say, new weapons, new tools, new ways of doing things, for new revelation, for our new mantle, for this season I'm in, for scrolls that unveil new things for me. So engaging the precepts may come through many different ways, not always cognitive. You don't always need to understand or know what's happened to you, but embrace it. So face-to-face encounters, revelatory encounters, engaging eternity, the Firestone encounters, refiner's fire experiences that all bring about change, that transformation, that bring me into another level of sonship. So this is part of how the Circle of the Deep does. Now, I use that. I am an ambassador for the Joshua generation. I can call for the alignment of the Circle of the Deep to open seasons and to open the houses for release. So, you know, I administrate for people to engage the precepts of God in revelatory encounters that are going to be transformatory to their thinking, so they embrace the statutes of God. I open those houses. I call for an alignment of those three houses to open up the ordinances of God, which is going to cause this shift. Then I begin to seek for seasons where we're going to see a release of new mantles. People are going to be called into new levels of authority. Now, I can recycle this over and over again, because some people respond to that whole cycle and begin to get on the journey for that in their lives, and some don't, and therefore there needs to be another call, another release, another season of alignment. It's not just one season. These are seasons which can be repeated over and over again. And I legislate for those repeat cycles when I feel led to do it. And sometimes I go back to the Council of 70 and I present to the 70 the call for a new season in light of the court case that I've done, the mandates that I have, and for the call for the Joshua generation to come out of the wilderness and engage their supernatural inheritance beyond the veil. That cycle needs to be continually repeated, calling for people to come out of the coverings of men, to come into the light, to experience revelation, to see the possibility of engaging heaven. I mean, we need to be involved in doing this to facilitate the changes that need to take place. And we then can continue this process along many things. I'm just doing this for one thing. there are so many other things that this needs to be done that I don't have a mandate to do, but perhaps maybe you will. So I had some beyond dimensional encounters that challenged me over the last year or so. And I was perturbed in one way, but also feeling I don't understand how to do this in another way. So I took it back to God. I went to the throne of grace and I need to offload this. I need some revelation, or I'm just going to rest because you need to do something. So then God spoke to me. He said, son, remember that the dimensions function on a totally different time continuum relative to your dimension. And therefore those dimensions that I have mandated to you are very much slower relative to your time. Because I was getting concerned that what God had tasked me to do, I wasn't doing because of all the other things I've also tasked to do. And this one seemed to be less of a priority to me for maybe obvious reasons, because opening some of these things up can create a problem. This is what he said. So the dimensions that I've engaged operate on a different time scale. So time there doesn't pass at the same rate as it passes here. That's what he was trying to say. Very little time has passed in other dimensions since you started to engage. There are other dimensions that seem very advanced relative to this dimension, but only relative to time being faster, like a day to 1,000 years or 1,000 years to a day. That operates in return. If one day here is 1,000 years somewhere else, I go back in a week and 7,000 years have passed. Now, I'm using year and 1,000, they may not have the same rotation within that dimension of what we do, or time may not function the same way at all, and they may be governed by other things other than the moving of planets. But 1,000 years could be like a day. So, I go back and virtually no time has passed, even though I've been away for weeks and weeks. So I'm preparing you for the seasons to come within this age, but remember there are ages to come and ages that have been. So, I'm starting to think about and explore time, dimensions, ages to come, where we are within the seasons that we're in terms of what God is doing, the restoration of all things, sonship, people coming into their sonship, creation, responding to us as sons. It's all part of my thinking, my meditation. So within this age, there are 12 ages of mankind's ascension to become mature fathers. Okay, so now this gives me some insight into where are we within this. There are many cycles and seasons within the life of individual men, and also many seasons within the cycles of an age. So this is not just a fixed, rigid thing. This is flexible, this is fluid, this can be adaptable to our establishing government. As the sons of God mature, they will realize that they can govern the seasons within the cycles within the age. Remember that everything is but a fractal, and you might be looking at what seems to be the biggest picture, but you're in fact looking at a picture within a picture within a picture. So don't think that just what you're looking at is it. There may well be deeper levels that go beyond what you can see at any one time. Because remember, we're not God. We may be sons of God, but we operate within a framework of the ages we're in. And our maturity brings us an understanding that can see that actually there are bigger pictures than perhaps what we're involved with at this precise moment in time. Only, this is again God speaking, only we are able to be I am, and all that lives and exists and has its being is within I am. Son, what I have shown you is a season and a cycle of the 12 houses that are cycling the seasons of your life and the current generation. Those houses are arranged within this cycle around the foundation stone, which is also represented by many different things, e.g. the cube, Metatron's cube, the ark, the sacrificial foundation stone, the cross, the tree of life. There are things which at particular points seem to be central to what's going along or revolving around in these dimensional things that may look different to different people, but effectively they're really the same thing expressed in different ways. Son, remember that 12, which is the number of government, fullness of government, is 4 times 3. And 3 times 4, and is 9 plus 3, and is 7 plus 5, and is 12 times 1, and is 1 times 12. So, what's he saying? There are many ways that seasons and cycles relate to each other, so many manifold and multifaceted expressions of wisdom and grace. So, things are a little bit deeper and more complicated than what is on the surface, but let's stick to where we are and focus on where we are, because further revelation will unfold if we need it. So what I have shown you are some of the patterns that revolve around the cube and the arc, but remember, you're seeing it only three-dimensionally when there are multidimensional expressions. So only tune into what you need to tune into. As your consciousness expands and you begin to mature, we begin to perceive things from a different dimensional way. I've shown you the circle of the deep revolving as the constellations and the 12 houses relative to one fixed point, your life, within this season, and how this relates to was, is, and will be. Son, even your engaging with what you term the eternal now within my heart is related but to one age. Even your rewired mind and expanded consciousness is limited, but there are many beyonds beyond the beyond. Which has obviously significant meaning for me. What is true for personal alignment will be the same principles for all alignments. So you may have a mandate to align things for an ecclesia and the seasons of an ecclesia, perhaps a city, an embassy of heaven. You know, depending on what you're mandated to do, these principles can be applied to these different situations to bring about change and transformation. The ultimate goal is to position the sons of God within the tree of life so that balance is restored to creation and the harmony song is heard once again. So this is what God said. What does all that mean? Well, you know, let's actually look at it from here is the four thrones of God around the foundation stone or the ark, in this sense, the lion, ox, eagle, man, functioning in judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. Around that, you see the 12 chancellors, houses that are called to come into alignment, and within that outer wheel, the 12 constellations of heaven, which also can be brought into alignment. So that's just one slice, if you like, across one way of thinking about it and engaging. And then you have the perspective of the lion, ox, eagle, man, the Metatron's cube, around which the circle of the deep or the 12 chancellors' houses are arranged in four groups of four. So here we have the same thing, but in the middle of it is standing in the four faces of God, actually connecting to the chancellor's houses and bringing alignment for different seasons for judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. And then you can see this is Metatron's cube, if you like, itself with the different things within the center of this rotating around, bringing alignment with those houses and therefore bringing alignment between heaven and earth in my life and in other things. So it's maybe an interesting thing. Maybe at this point you're thinking, whoa, this is over my head. That's okay. Park it. Don't be bothered if you don't think this is something you're doing at the moment. But when you need to engage it, here you have the information which will then enable you to bring that into revelation when you experience it. So my experiences in the house and I'm gonna share with you. Just from a point of view of they're pretty weird. Now, I'm not saying that you have to experience any of this the way I've experienced it, because it's so I could relate to it and have an understanding of what I was experiencing. So these are my encounters designed to relate to me. Your encounters will relate to you. So you may see things differently because you tune into things differently and symbolic things mean different things to you than me. So don't try and repeat this or understand my experience, but see my experience as something which is, for me, has been revelatory and has brought understanding and encounter. Now, some of the things that I saw, this is what it's like. And some of what I saw was like representative of something. So I'm seeing something in a symbolic sense that unveils truth to me that I then begin to understand. other things seemed like, oh, there's lots of rooms here, lots of things going on, and they seemed very much like, oh, this is actually how this functions. So I'm going to give you the 12 houses from my experience. Is so the precept's house was like an amazing domed hall with portals of eternity and four windows of heaven looking through into the eternal sense of the precepts of God, his nature. I saw into the eternal mind and the consciousness of God's heart. Now, this is going back a few years before I really encountered eternity or had my mind renewed or deconstructed. So this was challenging to me at the time. You know, now this makes total sense. But at the point, I was like completely trying to fathom this out. It was just like, whoa, this is just overwhelming. Because I wasn't, this was the springboard that brought maturity that unveiled the experience to bring the reality of change in my life. So I saw the foundations of order, the geometry of the spheres. I saw the origins of sacred thought, wave, particle of love's fullest expression, relationship, oneness. Now I'm describing it as best I could. Okay. And I describe it like that because my spirit inspired me to write that. I saw the never-ending increase of the order in the exponential nature of love expressed in Fibonacci number sequences of mathematical order and beauty. Now, do I yet fully understand that? No, but I understand a lot more in terms of Fibonacci number sequences, in terms of the golden mean, in terms of fractal images and Mandelbrot equations and all sorts of other things, which some of you might be turning off at this point. That's okay. Just stick with it. It may make more sense to you when you encounter this for yourself. I saw the very nature of God's desires in beautiful fractal symmetry. I saw the creative desire of God's heart, his very thoughts forming wondrous patterns of joy. I saw his desire for sons as eternal father, the Ancient of Days. It was a life-changing experience. I saw the portals into eternity release their ancient knowledge of the creative order of the consciousness of the mind of God. I saw wisdom manifold in her expressed statuesque in beauty. Son of my heart, follow the desires placed deep within you to explore me and know me. And this is what I heard God say as I stood there. Let your desires lead you into the dark mysteries to unveil the mystic order. Shoot the arrows of desire from the quiver of hunger and seek their pathway. The patterns will form. The door was sealed with a time lock, opened only by desire of the deepest longings for the ancient paths of glory. So this is not something you can just waltz into. There's something here which will be unlocked by your desire to pursue this. The statute house, and this was the next house I engaged with. Now, I had been in a number of the houses before, not really knowing what they were, particularly the fairs of the nations. Then God said, go back to the beginning and work them through. So I went into the statute house. I saw it as full of eyes, perspective, because the statutes are the mind of how God observes everything and sees things. Now, I didn't understand that at the time. So for me, it was like, whoa, this is a weird place. But then think of Ezekiel and the wheels that are full of eyes, and think of the angels that are described with full of eyes on their wings. I mean, it's weird. It is weird. So the eyes, to me, speak of perspective. So there was an eye for detail, an eye for order, an eye for symmetry, an eye for sequence, an eye for the geometry of the precepts to form the patterns for dimensional government. Now, I wrote that. Do I understand what that fully means? Well, more than I did now then. But this was a weird encounter. And I'm like, whoa, this is about perception. The statutes are about the mind of God. I mean, his mind is not my mind and goes way beyond. The precepts form the statutes, and the statutes form the laws, and the laws release the ordinances. The statutes are the geometric maps of the dimensions and are connected through the doorways and portals of the ancient paths. The ancient paths connect the dimensions and the realms where the intersections of agreements connect to ancient knowledge. The paths meet where the statutes produce geometric order and engage the DNA of heaven. The statutes are the pattern of the precepts encoded as hidden mysteries in the minds of men, but clarity of revelation to the keen eye of wisdom. The statutes are points of resonance for the precepts of God to order the created realms with the perfection and beauty of eternity's thoughts. So God's mind focused brings order. The geometric cogs and wheels of the order of the eternal mind of God. Expressed in mathematical beauty and sequence, the golden mean of God's heart designed to express the infinite order of love. The kaleidoscope of love's multicolored, multifaceted, manifold wisdom and grace, the perfection of the light, sound, fragrance resonating to the rhythm of the heartbeat of God. Now, it's very poetic, and I don't know what inspired me to write it other than the experience and my spirit relating to it in some way and unveiling this stuff, which of course we have knowledge of because we've been here before. You know, we've been as light beings involved in creation, and this is some of what gets unveiled and gets triggered when you begin to experience these things. The law house, the blueprints for all government, 3, 4, 7, 10, 12, 70, authority of the spears, Ancient of Days, the key title. All the spiritual laws, a sacred geometric formula. All the laws of the spiritual realms. All the laws of the 32 dimensions of God. All the laws of the quantum realm. All the laws of the physical realm. All the laws of the spiritual laws of life. All the DNA sequences of life. You know, this is pattern. This is order. This is what brings things together. The precepts of the heart of God. The statutes, the mind of God, the perception of God, and now how things are brought into order and ordered to outwork those. The precepts and statutes form the ark that releases the laws that fully express the very nature of God that reveal the government of eternity. The voice of God speaks according to the heart of God and the mind of God. The ordinance house. I declare the alignment of foundational houses, precepts, statutes, laws to release the rising of a new order of the house of ordinances. I was inspired to say that when I went in there. Without really knowing what was going on, I just started to decree and declare, because this is about bringing order. These are the orders. These are the declarations. These are the troop movements. These are the things which shift people from one place to another. A new governmental alignment as the constellations are realigned, repositioned in the circle of the deep. Orders, scrolls with strategic movements, preposition of strategic ministries, relationships, alliances, benches for territories, embassies, city of refuge hubs, huge grid system, a matrix of connections aligned to everlasting doors and the heavenly mountain ranges. You know, all this stuff is really how things get done. Multi-dimensional map of angelic troop movements, deployment of scrolls for mandates and blueprints, lightning bolts of truth released out of heaven into the earth, burning bush encounters, angelic assignments, dreams, all designed to bring a shift to move us into a new dimension, into a new place, into a new mantle, into a new scroll. The House of Mantles. I engaged the House of Mantles. There were many horses and with riders that came out. And this again is a very symbolic encounter. I went to the door, and as I opened the door, all these horses with riders came out, all in shiny suits of armor. So I'm like, whoa. It was like a procession, a trooping of the color. The trooping of the color is an expression that in our royal thing is when the changing of the guard takes place. So we have a changing of the guard, and they call it the trooping of the color. And it's something that tourists like to go and view every day. I saw the lead horse rear up and unseat the rider, and like dominoes, all the horses unseated their riders behind. The mantles of God have become rigid symbols of position and power to defend. Anointings of the Spirit, one by one, they will be unseated and will fall from their positions. So here was where the old mantles are, their positions are going to be removed for new mantles to be released to people to take their places. This is really what this encounter was about. So I looked into the house and I saw in the outer area vast rows of stalls with horses of different colors. I walked further and I saw great activity. Many men in white linen standing by rows of colored mantles. Mantles for different roles, lordship, kingship, sonship, chancellorship, judges, magistrates, oracles, scribes, ambassadors. And now I realize there are way, way more than that. There were many angels hovering, waiting for the ordinances, the orders to be released. So these things can be distributed. So the ordinances then open up the door for mantles to be distributed and released. But the angels were waiting for direct orders. I saw the 12 chief chancellors standing like an honor guard directing me to another section within the house. Oracles, scribes, legislators, kings, priests, there were simple brown cloth cloaks being made ready with inscriptions being woven into the right sleeves. Each had a hood. So, and again, the mantle was not like this shiny thing that we wear to show everyone how big we are and how good we are and how much authority we are. These were things which were simple. These were things which had woven inscriptions into them and a hood to effectively hide, not having to show off, not having to be on display. This was a different type of mantle. The House of Weapons. The door was fragrant with roses and it was delightful and appealing. Now, this was quite surprising because it was just like, whoa, weapons? I'm looking for, I don't know, laser beams, lightsabers. And here we have a fragrant door. I saw love arrows ready with fiery, passionate heads to pierce hearts. You see, when we think of weapons, you think of destruction. When God thinks of weapons, he thinks of something totally different. I saw flasks of fragrant oils, love bombs of many different sizes, and fireballs of love. This was really challenging to my thinking. I saw legions of the Winds of Change angels with shields black with four stones, red, blue, green, yellow. Four winds of heaven, four seasons of life. I saw dark clouds with silver redemptive linings. They were inscribed in the roof of this place, of the great hall, was love, joy, peace, and the fruit of the Spirit inscribed there. These are the weapons that have changed people's paths. They've changed the course of history. They've been responsible for the rise and fall of nations. These weapons are agents of change within the heart of men and the affairs of the nations. But it's all based in love. They've been dependent on the prayers of the saints and the tears of the witnesses. But now that the houses are aligning as the sons of God take their places within the courts of heaven, true legislation as it is in heaven can be manifested on earth. In other words, we get to release love bombs, arrows of love, when we're motivated and we're seated in heavenly positions of authority coming out of the heart of God. The 12 houses are rising on the circle of the deep, and heavenly legislation will determine the affairs of the created order. The revelation of Metatron's cube and the sacred geometry of the dimensions will be unveiled. Soon the times and seasons will be determined by the sons of God. The army of God will be united in the assemblies of heaven as man and the angelic realm unite. The hearts of man ablaze with the passion of the precepts of God. The scroll's house. The chief scribe, now that you understand the government of the ordinances, this is what the chief scribe said to me. Now that you understand the government of the ordinances, mantles, weapons, the house of scrolls can rise and release its ancient knowledge. Three strikes of the staff and the door, which is inscribed with ancient symbol, opens. Now I'm standing in front of it. Now I've got a staff, you know, and I just knew what to do. You know, don't tell me how, I just did. I saw the scrolls stored in darkness, high in vaults. I saw amazing light coming like golden rays, illuminating a golden cord or a thread attached to each scroll. This is the thread. If it's pulled by true desire and followed as a path, will unveil the scroll. ancient knowledge once again revealed in the light of sons who walk in the light of his countenance. Only the true desire of sons will reveal the pathways to be followed. I was suddenly aware that I could only see half of this huge vaulted dome. When the light increased, as the threads were followed, I could see many seats of government in threes with scrolls and pens. And this goes back quite a number of years. So, you know, this was symbolic, but also now I understand the revelatory understanding of that in terms of God's government. The scribes and the legislators must take their places with the oracles to unveil God's heart for what will be as what was, what is, and what will be flow as the eternal river. You are to be the oracle who issues the sounds and the light that illuminates, that begins the quest for the trail of the ancients. Okay, now this is pretty weird stuff, but I have been issuing sounds. I was told to issue a light that seems to have connected with people, and now they're beginning to follow something where that light is leading them. The laws of Zion are to be released as the oracles stand before the council of the fathers. The legislators engage what was, and the scribes bring forth what will be. Discovery House. I engaged the door, which was pure crystal, with the faces each shaped from one stone, lion, ox, eagle, man. A warrior angel of the order of Yishim was in full battle array by this door. I sought an audience. And he said, I am he who guards the treasures of darkness not yet revealed in light. I am authorized as chancellor to engage the river of dark energy and matter. Okay, that's interesting. All is dark, hidden from the eyes of the many. I reveal my heart, and it reveals the light in proportion to its purity. It is like a spotlight only falling upon the mysteries of the deep desires in me at the level of my spirit's light. So things that get unveiled to us are in proportion to the level of maturity and purity our hearts have. So we will use what gets unveiled in light and not darkness, not for the motives of selfishness or self-centeredness or for anything else. Each person can only discover according to their eternal light. There are many doors, portals to discovery. Each has a name only decrypted by the modulated frequency of the light released from the fabric of our spirit and reflected in the deep desires of our hearts. So there's stuff in there which we're not supposed to find until we're ready to find it. So don't think you're just going to go into the discovery house and be able to invent masses of things for the future. There's something here which is so important to how our spirit and soul are integrated together in life. There are mysteries and dimensions of energy, propulsion, sound forces, inventions, maps, plans, star maps, galaxy maps for pioneer and exploration. There are many keys to each door. No man can see all and know all, but all men can see their discovery. Discover the mysteries of our destinies, hidden for us to discover now that the house of the circle of the deep is aligning in its governmental order. So there are mysteries, things that are to be discovered are going to be unveiled. What has been seen will be unveiled in true governmental shape and multidimensional form. The alignment of the dimensions of what was, is, and will be. The configuration of the eternal order and cycle 3 to the power of 12. I see the nations, not just of the world, but of the dimensions of what will be when suns take their places. I see light expanding out like a fan into dark energy, revealing matter. The commissioning house. I engaged with wisdom, who took me to the door. It was a very small door, and the High Chancellor, Tamara Dedek, is ceremonially dressed. Only the humble who know themselves and are gentle and humble in heart can enter. I show him my heart, and the altar encounters are inscribed where I bowed down in obedience to God. The hall was enormous when I went in. There were ranks, galleries of ranks of angels and a cloud of witnesses. I sense a strong air of anticipation and excitement. There was a sense of pleasure and pride in the children becoming mature. This was like a graduation ceremony where appointments in positions of government were given. There was a simplicity about it as each person stepped forward to the sound of cheering and applause. Each person came, kneeled before God, and was presented with a seamless robe of many or multi colors, and a scroll and a new name was spoken into the ear that only the person could hear. Sons commissioned into their eternal destinies. I sensed the overwhelming joy and pleasure of God's heart. As I looked up at what was like a huge vaulted dome, I could see an interstellar, multidimensional map of the age and the ages to come. All the assignments were written and woven into the fabric of time, space, and eternity. I saw many rooms with ranks over the doors that were the stages of maturity and faithfulness. Lords, kings, scribes, oracles, legislators, chancellors, council members, key keepers, timekeepers, advisors, librarians, record keepers, etc., etc., etc. Many different doors. The Culture House. I call for an audience for the release of the protocol for culture. I saw the door with 12 stones arranged as an arch. The door opens. There's a council chamber with 12 seats. I saw 5 ante-rooms with a map of sorts over each door, and I saw 2 larger rooms. There were crowns, each with 4 sets of 3 stones within the larger 2 rooms. There were orbs, each encrusted with 4 sets of 3 stones, the Privy Council for Kings of the Nations. I saw 5 smaller rooms, and there are 5 where are the 5 order of Melchizedek, priests, kings, oracles, scribes, legislators, agreeing the strategy for the restoration of the redemptive purposes of the existing nations. New boundaries are being agreed, set forth around cities of refuge, embassies of heaven, in the alignment according to the order of the circle of the deep, 3s and 4s. The affairs of the nations. The circle of the deep provides the 12 foundation stones for the city of God, and the alignment will release the 12 laws of Zion. They are accessible through the gate to the city on Wisdom's Heights. The city is a pyramid with 4 sides, 4 seasons, bring the alignment of what was, is, and what is to come. I present my seal to have an audience and an entrance. There is a huge door with the alignment of the nations as a holographic map. I saw a huge anteroom with many people being introduced and connected. Desires of hearts are being shared and destinies are intersecting. Nations and people groups and governmental spheres. Scrolls are unrolled and the sparks of creativity start fires and passions of relationship and joint responsibilities of new benches are birthed. There's great activity, not quite frantic, but many agreements and alignments are being made. A huge shift is taking place in the affairs of man. This is the key place for the patterns of how the affairs of nations, worlds, galactic spheres are administered. There's a huge library room with books being consulted and legal cases being made by 3s and 7s. Each group were working at tables with a surface as a dimensional map. There were many departments or ministries here, each with different levels of responsibilities. The Treasury House, last house. The alignment of the houses or the circle of the deep was complete. I saw the fiery sword and the cherubim revealed as pathway to life in the eternal realm. I was given the fiery sword and commissioned to use the sword to release judgments to the church systems. I presented the case, you know, this is what led me to present the case to the Council of 70 for judgment, for the verdict to be passed in favor of the order of Melchizedek and for the favor to be removed from the old order, for the call to be released to cross through the fire of the sword's judgment to embrace destiny. Infinite expression of the expansion of the kingdom. Resources of creative thought for every dimension, every galaxy, star system. The eternal purpose and dominion. The purpose of angelic host assigned to each. The room of infinite resources, many corridors with door after door, each with the resources for the destiny scroll activity. Finance, weapons, angelic assignments, strategies, ordinances, legislative decrees, prophetic decrees. Here is where everything established in the 11 houses is now accessible to sons. The mirror surface of each room, the scroll is unfurled, an ancient path displayed. Greatest treasures are the very eternal precepts of God's thoughts, the intentions of his heart as gold. The crystals of sapphire, all with encoded revelation for DNA, are assigned to the path. 12 corridors like spokes of a wheel extend from a central hub. that was 12 gates, 12 thrones, 12 maps above each gate, 12 standards, 12 ages of man, 12 formulas or equations, and 12 laws. You know, pretty amazing stuff. Sun, align the houses in revelatory expression, and that will release the call for the chancellors to come forth. Sun, embrace your destiny, make it clear and plain. Once clear in your understanding, by engaging the firestones once more, the 12 laws will be unveiled in the court of the Council of the Fathers. Now, I need to teach these 12 laws. I am going to do it within one of the next modules, the 12 laws of Zion, to unveil it. I call forth a support network to be in place for each time zone, for each parallel longitude, each latitude, for each region. So this is something that I started to call for. Oasis in each region for explorers and pioneers to find refreshment and understanding. I call for networks of wells to be dug and lights as beacon fires to be lit. So, again, I don't know whether you will be able to engage in all that type of thing, whether you're at that point of engagement yourself, whether you are at that point where this will be open to you, but pursue it. Set your heart on it. Start to call for precepts, engagement with the precepts of God. And, you know, what I'm going to do is just ask God to engage you in the precepts of God. Ask Jesus to take you to the precepts of God. So again, I will just encourage you to slow down your thinking, start breathing in a more relaxed way. Start thinking about the breath of God breathed into you and breathe out Yod, breathe in Hey, breathe out Vav, breathe in Hey. Start getting into the rhythm of life in your breathing. Start to slow down. Just let the sound begin to call the sons of God to arise. Take their places within the realms of heaven. Engage the chancellor's houses. Engage with the precepts of God. Hear the call to engage the precepts of God. Just begin to set your heart on stepping into that realm, shifting your focus to think about the realm of heaven. Step through that realm. Jesus is waiting. Just begin to engage with him. Just allow Jesus to begin to engage with you. Set the desire upon the precepts of God. Maybe ask him to take you to wisdom's heights. Ask wisdom to give you access to the precepts of God. Just take you to engage in God's precepts. Wherever you need to go, through the perhaps a doorway into an encounter, perhaps engaging the firestones, yeah, I just ask Jesus that you would unveil your precepts, the very precepts of the Father, Son, and Spirit, the very heart of the nature and essence of God in love. Just unveil that. Reveal that to your children. Call us into a deeper level of engagement. Call us into a deeper level of experience with your precepts, which will be an unveiling of your statutes, a revealing of your law, a shifting of the ordinances to reveal the mantles and the weapons, to unveil the scrolls. Just take your children to another level of experience. Unveil what they need to experience. So I just encourage you, just go wherever he takes you. Be open to pursue this as you engage daily with God. Set your heart's desire of engaging the precepts, statutes, and laws of God as the foundation for all else.